From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a look at your local and statewide news. Alaska's new Lieutenant Governor, Nancy Dahlstrom, has been involved in Alaska's politics for the last 20 years, but has lived mostly out of the spotlight. She shuffled through a state House seat, advisor roles, and a commissioner appointment before running on Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy's reelection ticket. Now, as second in command, she'll oversee the state election system and says she's ready for the challenge. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George reports.
Nancy Dahlstrom's entry into politics was an unusual one. In 2002, she challenged then-Representative Lisa Murkowski from the right for an Anchorage State House seat and lost. A year later, Governor Frank Murkowski appointed Lisa to the U.S. Senate and asked Dahlstrom to replace her in Juneau. Since then, Dahlstrom says she's stayed in government because she loves Alaska and wants to make it a better place.
We can all make a difference. Everything doesn't always go the way we want it to in politics, but we can always work together. We can work across party lines. We can always find things that we have in common.
Dahlstrom, a Republican, earned a reputation for being sharp, honest, and willing to collaborate during her 7 years in the Alaska legislature.
I think Nancy has a deep-seated sense of public service and that she really wants to serve Alaska in a Broadway.
Beth Kurtula is a former Democratic lawmaker from Juneau who served at the same time as Dahlstrom. Kurtula says she and Dahlstrom disagreed on social issues, but their party differences never stopped them from working together.
Nancy and I did disagree from time to time, but you still have a working relationship, and actually, you mostly have a friendship.
Over the last decade, Dahlstrom has held a number of jobs. She worked as an advisor in the Parnell administration and spent time in the private sector. In 2018, she ran for state house again and won, but never actually took the seat because Governor Dunleavy, starting his first term, asked her to head the Department of Corrections. 4 years later, he reached out again, this time to ask her to run as his lieutenant governor.
It's not a phone call I was expecting, you know?
John Coghill, a former North Pole and Fairbanks legislator, says Dahlstrom was a good ideological match for Dunleavy and well-versed in political issues, even though she wasn't a name most voters would recognize.
She's probably well-known in her area, but I think in the interior here, you know, probably low. Dunleavy has a very high rating here in the interior, so I think he was the name they were looking at.
Dunleavy won last month's election despite his few appearances on the campaign trail. Dahlstrom made even fewer. Lieutenant governors are often overlooked and overshadowed by governors. But in Alaska, they have a major role to play overseeing the state election system, an area of government that in recent years has had lots of attention as conservatives frequently question the integrity of elections. Dahlstrom says she does not have concerns about election integrity at this point. And now, despite her relative obscurity, Dahlstrom says she's ready to dive in.
Well, what I will tell you is that elections is my number one priority. That is my number one job.
Elections have seen a lot of changes in the last year. The state saw its first ranked choice elections this summer and fall. And last week, longtime Division of Elections Director Gail Finumiai retired. Dahlstrom was clear she did not ask for Finumiai's resignation.
I think that she did a good job leading our first ranked choice.
Dahlstrom says she's committed to upholding the policies of the election system set in law. However, she expressed reservations about the ranked choice system.
I still have people that will say to me, I still don't get it. And these are smart people, people running big businesses doing... maybe sometimes things are too simple and we try to make them harder or whatever, but... definitely, it was a game, and we needed to learn all the different ways to play the game so that our vote counted.
The Division of Elections is currently reviewing an application for a ballot initiative to overturn ranked choice voting and the new open primary system. Dahlstrom wasn't aware of its status a few days into the job, but it will ultimately be up to her to determine whether it passes muster and ends up on the next statewide ballot. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
University of Alaska students who do academic research, teaching, and support work are seeking to unionize. The Alaskan Graduate Workers Association would represent 425 academic student employees, about 80% of whom work at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
The majority of that is people who are graduate students, RAs, research assistants, TAs, teaching assistants, and some service assistants.
UAF biology graduate student and research assistant Abigail Schiffmiller is one of the union organizers. Schiffmiller says compensation is a key driver of that effort.
The cost of living in Fairbanks and Anchorage has increased a lot in recent years, but the pay increases through the university have been minimal and sporadic.
Schiffmiller lists several other student worker issues a union could address.
Access to health care is a big one. There's also concern about kind of grievance procedures and workload and transparency in our appointments and our contracts. But ultimately, the baseline is that we want to have a seat at the table. We want to be involved in decision-making process for decisions that affect our lives.
According to a release, the Alaskan Graduate Workers Association is the first academic student employee group in the state to file for union recognition. And the University of Alaska is currently the only high-level research institution on the West Coast that does not have a student employee union. Schiffmiller says they're organizing under the umbrella of the UAW, a national labor organization which already represents 100,000 higher education workers.
Successfully representing academic employees all along the West Coast and also like at Columbia.
Schiffmiller says organizers gauged interest of the University of Alaska employee group by sending out cards to them this fall.
And we actually got a supermajority to sign cards.
Schiffmiller says an authorization petition was submitted to the Alaska Labor Relations Agency December 9th, and on the same day a letter was sent to University of Alaska President Pat Pitney requesting voluntary recognition of the union. In a written response, UA Associate Vice President of Public Affairs Robbie Graham said Tuesday that the university is, quote, reviewing the petition. If the university does not voluntarily recognize the union, Schiffmiller says the Alaska Labor Relations Agency will verify the list of employees in the group, followed by a formal vote on unionization. And a muskox attacked and killed a man near Nome on Tuesday, according to Alaska State Troopers. Troopers spokesperson Austin McDaniel says Curtis Warland was trying to haze a group of muskox away from his dog kennel at home when one of the muskox attacked him. He was declared dead at the scene. Warland worked in Nome as a court services officer since 2009. McDaniel says a 911 dispatcher told troopers about the fatal attack. Alaska Wildlife Troopers and Alaska Department of Fish and Game will investigate. McDaniel says they may decide to kill the muskox if it's deemed a public safety threat. McDaniel said Worland's death is tragic.
Curtis Worland was a dedicated member of the Alaska Department of Public Safety. He served the state well as a court services officer, and he will certainly be missed.
For people, fatal muskox encounters are rare, but news outlets have documented the animals attacking and killing dogs in rural Alaska. The spring forecast for herring in Sitka Sound is down from last year, but is still expected to be among the largest in the last 50 years. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game on Tuesday announced that a biomass of over 150,000 tons of mature herring would return to the sound next year. That's about 50,000 tons less than the forecast made this time last year for the 2022 season. In a news release, ADF&G management biologist Aaron Dupuy said the decrease was due largely to, quote, natural mortality and waning of the exceptionally large 2016-year class. Nevertheless, the projected amount of herring next season is the fourth largest since 1979 and the only larger forecast were in the last 3 years. Last spring, the department recorded about 92 nautical miles of spawning along the shoreline of Sitka Sound, 30 miles more than the 10-year average. The state of Alaska is auctioning off oil and gas leases for nearly 3 million acres in the Cook Inlet area this month, just ahead of another lease sale from the federal government. The Alaska Division of Oil and Gas says over 700 tracts will be out for bid during the sale. The tracts cover Wasilla down to Anchor Point, both onshore and off. The sale is the division's second sale this year and will happen against the backdrop of warnings from natural gas producer Hilcorp that the company might not have a dependable gas supply beyond its current contracts. At the same time, interest in oil and gas tracts in the inlet has waned, with a small number of companies picking up leases in recent state and federal sales. You're listening to KTOO.